Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Nedorim with lesson number 18. We will study the last Mishnah, that is the sixth Mishnah of Perek Hei, and we will begin our study of the sixth Perek with Mishnah Aleph. First, Perek Hei, Mishnah Vov. The Mishnah begins with a statement which we have studied previously back in Perek Dalet Mishnah Ches, and that is, Hamudor Hanoa Mechavero, if Reuven is bound by a vow not to derive any benefit from Shimon, Ve'ein lo ma yuchal, and Reuven has nothing to eat, No snola acher, so Shimon, who wants to feed Reuven, but cannot because Reuven has vowed not to derive any benefit from Shimon. So Reuven can give it to Shimon can give it to a third party, Lishum Matona. Shimon can give it to Levi as a gift. So now the food belongs to Levi. Vahalo mutarbo. And Reuven, who is the Mudor Hanoh, can derive benefit from the food, which technically belongs to Levi. Now, although we have learned this Mishnah in the past, so this would seem to be repetitive, and perhaps only being repeated as an introduction to the next halacha which we are about to learn. Nevertheless, there are those Meforshim who say, that the reason it is repeated here is to let us know that it is not only as was the case in Perek Dalet Mishnah Ches, that Reuven and Shimon are walking along the road, they're en route, they're traveling somewhere, and desperate that Shimon can give a gift to a third party so that Reuven can derive benefit from it. But rather, even if they are under normal circumstances, they're in the town, they're at home, nevertheless, the Mudor Hanoh can derive benefit from a third party who was given a gift, even intentionally given a gift, in order to be able to indirectly get the food or whatever to Reuven. The Mishnah now continues with a story that teaches us a very important lesson about the parameters or the limits to such a ploy, where Shimon, from whom Reuven is not allowed to derive benefit, gives the food or whatever to a third party. Maase ve'echod beveis choron. It happened, there was once a story which happened to a person who happened to live in Beis Choron, which is a town in the north of Yehuda. Shahoya Oviv Mudor Heimenu Hano. This person's father was bound by a vow not to derive any benefit from his son. For Hoya Masies Beno, and now the son was marrying off his son, the grandson of the Mudor Hano. So of course he wanted his father to come to the wedding. And in those days, the halacha was, or the custom was, that it was the father of the groom that paid for the wedding. And so in this situation, the father of the groom can't invite his own father, the grandfather of the groom, because his own father, the grandfather, is a mudur hanoh and cannot get any benefit from the son, which he would certainly get if he would come to this wedding of his grandson, which was being paid for by the son. So therefore the son wanted his father to come, but his father's a mudor hanoh from him, so what can he do? V'yomar l'chaveiro. So the son, father of the groom, said to his friend, some third party, Chotzer u'su'udo nesunim loch b'matono, that my courtyard in which the wedding is taking place and the entire feast, the entire meal, are yours. I'm giving them to you as a gift. But ve'enon lifonecha elo kedei sheyavo abo. I'm only giving it to you as a gift in order that Papa, Abba, the Mudor HaNoah can come, V'yocha limonu basuda, and he can join us and rejoice with us in this wedding meal. Omalo, so this friend said, if you're giving me something as a gift, I mean, one way or the other, either it's mine or it's not mine. If it's mine, im shalihem, if indeed the chotzeru su'uda of yours are now mine, harei hein mukdoshin lashamayim, I hereby declare them hegdash, I'm donating them to the Beis HaMikdosh's fund. Omalo, so the son, the owner of the chotzer and the person who was throwing the wedding party, the father of the groom, said, no way, lo nosati es sheli shetakti shem lashamayim, I didn't give you my courtyard and my suda in order for you to take it and donate it, lashamayim, donate it to the heavens, meaning donate it to charity. In other words, it's yours, but it's really not yours. It's not yours to give away as you please. Omalo. So the friend said, look, I'm not accepting a gift that's going to allow you to engage in these loopholes and these trickeries and deceitful ploys and in the process be a conspirator, a co-conspirator on your violating or your father violating his neder. The only reason you gave me this is not really to give me a gift which I now own. But rather, it's a ploy that you and your father should be able to eat and drink and become reconciled one with the other. And the sin should now be stuck on top, or should be attached to, should be hung, so to speak, on his head, meaning upon my head. I'm going to now be involved as a party to your conspiracy with your father to sin and to break the neder, which is binding your father against eating from your su'uda. When indeed this matter came before the Chachomim as an example of a situation which needed a clear ruling, Omru, the Chachomim said, Kol matono she'eino, every gift which is not a full gift, which is eino, which is not controlled by the recipient of the gift so that he can do with it whatever he pleases, she'im hikdisho eino mekudeshes, that it's being given to him, but not the right of him, the Makabel, the recipient, being able to donate it to Hegdish is not being given to him, Eino Matono. That is not a gift. To give someone a gift, it has to be his 100% to do with it as he pleases. So here too, if the son would have given this friend of his the Chotzer Usuda and said, here, it's yours, do what you want with it. If you're Magdishit L'Shamayim, you're Magdishit L'Shamayim. However, if you're not Magdishit L'Shamayim, of course, my father, who's a Mudr Hanoah from me, can come and use the Chotzer and Su'uda, because the Chotzer and Su'uda are indeed fully yours, Mr. Chover. So that is the conclusion of this Mishnah. And in the process, we have finished Perek Chamishi, the fifth Perek. And we move on to the sixth perek. The sixth perek picks up on a theme which we have encountered before, back in Perek Gimel, and that is the rule of Bnei Dorim Holchim Achar Lashon Bnei Odom. When it comes to Nedorim, to vows, if a person makes a vow and expresses himself in some language, and we're not clear what he means by that language, so we follow the customary usage of that language among in the society where he lives, where that language is spoken. We look at the reasonable, usual, and customary use of the language. In our perek, we're going to find examples of a person who makes a neder, prohibiting himself from eating a certain type of food, but leaving open other types of food. However, the interpretation of the type of food that he is prohibiting upon himself, that he is including in the vow, is not always so clear. So, if a person says, for example, beginning Perek Vov, Mishnah Aleph, Hanoder min Hamavushal, there are various interpretations here. We will follow one approach, and that is, if a person says, Behei Hayodia, he says, I am hereby prohibiting myself from eating ha-mevushol, that which is cooked. So cooked, literally speaking, means something which is cooked in water to a certain point where it's edible. It's not overcooked, not cooked in water to a point where it's overdone, not undercooked in the water so that it is raw, and not roasted upon a fire with no water being done at all. Technically speaking, those other types of food are known either as tsoli, roasted meat, which is roasted over an open fire with no water involved, it's not put in a pot where there is water, and sholuk, which is generally interpreted to mean food which is cooked in water but overdone, cooked much more than is normal. Some say it's the opposite, when it's underdone. So if a person makes a neder, he's not going to eat hamavushol. So when he said that hamavushol, he obviously meant that which is literally cooked in water to the proper point. And therefore, muto batzoli, he could certainly eat roast meat, which is not mavushol bamayim, not cooked in water. Uvasholuk, and he cannot eat that food which is cooked to its regular point of consumption. But if it's overcooked, shaluk, or some would say undercooked shaluk, that he's permitted to eat because that is not hamivushal. Omar, but suppose the person says, konim, tavshil, sha'ani toim. Suppose the person says, I am not going to eat anything which is tavshil. Now, tavshil means, it's a more generic term, and it's not quite clear what he means by tavshil. So, we say, the Mishnah teaches us, Osur b'ma'ase kedero rach. He is not permitted to eat those things which are known as tavshilim. Tavshilim refers to soupy food cooked in a kedero, in a pot. However, suppose you have food cooked in a pot which is not soupy, let's say, which is thick porridge, thick cereal. Mutor be'ove. He's mutor to eat the thick cereal, which is not soupy, not very full of water, because that is not what's usually called tavshil. Tavshil usually refers to something cooked and kind of watery or soupy. However, he can eat bo'ove, something which is thick and not watery or soupy. That's not called tavshil. So therefore, if a person makes a neder not to eat tavshil, he can't eat chicken soup, he can't eat matzo balls that are cooked in water, but he can eat thick oatmeal. Umutor beveitzas tromita. He's permittable to eat an egg which is cooked in hot water, kind of a soft-boiled egg, it would seem. Which is really not even boiled, but cooked to some degree in hot water. And the custom was that they would eat this slightly cooked, almost raw egg. They would swallow it, drink it down as a curative, perhaps for a sore throat of something. So this is not considered a tavshil. And that, even though he made a neder not to eat a tavshil, he can eat this beitzas tromita. And similarly, he can eat uvidlaas horamutza. The laas is a type of a gourd, a melon or pumpkin-like, a squash-like a vegetable, which is very bitter-tasting, but its bitterness can be sweetened a bit if it is placed into hot coals or hot ash, which is called remetz. So if this dalas, which is cooked into the remetz, cooked by these hot coals, hot ash, this is not called a tavshil. And therefore, if a person made a neder not to eat a tavshil, he can eat those things which are obviously not called tavshilim, such as the beitzas tromito and the dala'as horimutza. And so we have finished Perek Vov Mishnah Aleph and completed lesson number 18.